Okay, I think we are ready to start. We have still a few people like walking in the door, but I'll get started. So, good morning, everybody. My name is Mikko Ylinen. I'm the Tyson IVI architect, and I'm here to talk to you about Tyson IVI and Tyson IVI architecture. I work as the architecture lead in the Intel IVI team, and my presentation is basically about what we have done so far in Tyson IVI, and what are the plans and visions where do we want this Tyson IVI to be. This is the content of my presentation. This is just a quote from my presentation abstract, and I'm highlighting the contents, what I'm going to talk about. So the architecture status, future plans, and I guess the most interesting thing in this presentation is that what the architecture actually looks like and how it actually differs from what we, for example, saw yesterday in the Tyson architecture presentation presented by Sunil and Vincent. So like how Tyson IVI architecture differs from the mobile architecture. And the last thing is I'm going to talk about how do we think of building the Tyson IVI stack, like bottom up from a real small set of packages, adding more to finally get the full stack up and running. So I have some examples and what I mean by that. And so, yeah, by the way, sorry about my voice. I'm had a pretty bad flu, so I hope my voice will last until the end of the presentation. It's not about the good party we had yesterday, but it's about like the flu I had last week. But okay, let's continue. We made a Tyson IVI preview release roughly a month ago. That was highlighting basically the preview, showing that Tyson IVI is alive. And since the first release, we have released updates every week, and like fixing the most critical bugs and adding more functionality. The latest release we made now contains the 1.0 Luxburg source code, so it's a pretty accurate and up-to-date release what we have for IVI today. When we started planning the release, thinking like what do we want to have in the preview release, what would be the things that would really make people interested in Tyson IVI, We started listing certain non-functional requirements and also technical things, like certain technologies to be used in the release. The non-functional drivers we had for the preview release, by non-functional, by the way, I mean things that are not implemented by certain software component, but they are present in the system, like available in the system in the release. So the non-functional drivers we had for the preview release is clearly number one requirement, like real fast boot, like to get the system booted up really fast. This is a very critical requirement for all IVI systems. You can think of it yourself, like if you sit on the car, put the key in and ignite, run the ignition sequence, the IVI system gets power. So of course you want to see the navigation or rear view camera up and running on your IVI screen as soon as possible. We defined a target for ourselves. We set 7 seconds would be the goal for our preview release to get the system booted up to home screen. We didn't plan to implement any intermediate steps, but things like what I've heard is that 7 seconds to get to home screen, but there are also other intermediate steps even before we get to home screen. I've heard a requirement that the rear view camera should be visible by 2 seconds on the screen. We don't have that implemented yet, but that's probably one of the next goals. Next goals to have in Tizen IVI. So boot to home screen in 7 seconds. So where we are today, we are actually doing quite well here. If we don't count the BIOS and bootloader time in, we are actually able to boot the system from kernel init to UI in 5.5 seconds, which is quite nice boot time. Another non-functional driver we had, we wanted to provide a really small installation size, meaning like we wanted to have the image to be very minimal. We defined a goal for ourselves that the image shouldn't exceed 500 megabytes, and we are still below that, but this is a tough challenge. Like if you think when all the inbox applications and UI and everything are installed, maybe with some sample graphics also, this 500 megabytes is a really, really challenge, but we are still below that, and that's actually something we are, I'm personally, and the QA team is also continuously monitoring that where the root FS size is going. And the third non-functional requirement, we wanted to have an easy way to customize and configure the system. Like this is about what I'm going to talk about later in this presentation, like really build the complete system bottom up, starting from a small set of packages that is able to bring the system to console, and then start adding more functionality, things like connectivity subsystem or graphics stack, and so on. Then moving away from non-functional drivers to key technology drivers, these are now things we wanted to, these are like certain technologies we wanted to have in the image. And the hottest topic in the IVI world is now this new Wayland display protocol, and we wanted to show we can do Wayland on Tizen IVI, providing completely X-less stack. We were kind of lucky. The Wayland team just released their 0.85 snapshot branch in February, which was just like well before the expected preview, Tizen IVI preview release in early April. So we are now using the 0.85 Wayland protocol release and the 0.85 Western reference compositor. The Western is something the Wayland project is working or providing. So we're just using 0.85 from Wayland project and the reference compositing window manager from that project. In addition to Wayland, we wanted to demonstrate various UI toolkits using Wayland, and also then further demonstrating sample apps that are using those different UI toolkits. IBI space is challenging in one sense. They are not using single UI toolkit. So car manufacturers might even have their own. Some are using Qt and some are using GTK. So we want in this preview release, we wanted to give show everybody that, okay, we can. It's not about the UI toolkit. We are demonstrating these three different major UI toolkits there. So we are shipping Qt 4.8 running on Wayland, then EFL running on Wayland, and GTK also running on Wayland. The sample desktop implementation we have is based on Qt, but then we also have applications like Navit that is using GTK. So we are at least demonstrating those toolkits with sample apps in the preview release. But we didn't want to go to Wayland directly. We also wanted to give user the window management system as an installation option, so that the user can choose between X11 and Wayland. And how we did that was that we are actually, the preview release you can see there today is that's a minimal image that doesn't ship any graphics subsystem by default. So it's up to the user to select which window management and graphics subsystem to install. We are providing this X11 option as a backwards compatibility during some short transition period, but moving on to the future, we are dropping this X support at some point and moving to Wayland completely. Then we also wanted to have systemd running. That was one of the key things, or kind of a mandatory requirements to get to this less than 7 second fast boot. So we wanted to have systemd there. There is, by the way, a systemd presentation ongoing at the moment. So to pad, you can't see it, but maybe check the slides later. But the August team, Intel OTC team, they've been doing a good work in systemd integration, and we are using what they have done in Tizen IVI. And as you can see, or as you heard what I said earlier, with very good results already. And the last key technology driver we had, we wanted to be Genevi compliant and ship all the Genevi compliancy 2.0 release components enabled in Tizen IVI. I'm pretty sure many of you don't know what Genevi is, so I prepared a couple of slides talking about what Genevi is all about and what Genevi is doing. Genevi is driving our work quite a lot. We get some good requirements and feedback from this Genevi Alliance, which is a non-profit industry alliance that they want to drive open source IVI platform. And to define that platform, they have set up this Genevi compliance program, which basically defines a certain set of components any Genevi compliant system must provide. This is something already seen today. Many car manufacturers are already asking in their RFQs that is your software stack Genevi compliant? And we are taking that very seriously, and we want to have Tizen IVI Genevi compliant all the time. How Genevi compliance works, they have a compliance document which categorizes functionality and packages into three different buckets, I would say buckets. They have a list of specific components. The specific components are components that are, it's a component in the system, basically. You can clearly point out that we want to have, let's say, Linux kernel in the system. That's a specific component in Genevieve's mind. And then there are abstract components, which in short, it's just like abstract component defines an agreed API, and like Genevieve approved API. It's up to the vendor then to decide what's the component that implements the API, but the API is defined by the compliance. And then there is the last bucket of Genevieve compliance components. It's the placeholder component. Placeholder components, they are just a set of requirements, and nothing more. But then in addition to these three different groups of components, Genevieve compliance also mandates or gives priorities for them, meaning P1, priority 1 is mandatory. So if a component is listed as P1, it's always needed. Whether it was a placeholder component or an abstract component, it doesn't matter. If it's P1, it has to be there. P2, priority 2 is an optional, but it must be integrated in the system, or it must be available in the system if it's implemented. And then P3 is simply an optional. So what we did in Tizen IVI, we just have sent the compliance application further. The Genevieve 2.0 compliance window opened 5th of May, so late last week. And this week we have submitted our Tizen IVI application. We made sure that we have all the P1 components that are defined by the 2.0 compliance release available. Here's a list of examples what components are actually required in the 2.0 Genevieve compliance specification. System D actually is a Genevieve compliance required component today. It was added in the 2.0 release. It's an example of a specific component. Then another example, it's a placeholder component. Genevieve compliance mandates with P1 label that the system must have a Bluetooth stack. And our answer to Genevieve compliance is that we are using BlueZ, which implements the required features that are defined by the compliance for the Bluetooth stack requirement. And OpenGLES is an example of abstract component. It defines an API. The implementation can vary and will vary because of the hardware differences. Our implementation is the EMGD driver, which is the Intel graphics driver for the hardware we are using in IVI. But compliance defines many more components, like, as I already mentioned, Linux kernel, GStreamer, ALSA, Conman. And in addition to these are just like common Linux open source components. But in addition to these, Genevieve also has or is working on its own components that are required by the compliance. Things like Genevieve has its own audio manager. Genevieve has its own layer management component, which is related to graphics. And the third Genevieve component that is required by the compliance is automotive DLT, which is about logging and trace. Moving on to things that we are working when moving towards Tizen 1.0 release. We are expected to have the Tizen IVI 1.0 release by the end of this year. Feature complete somewhere in the autumn time, September, October time frame, and then have the final release available by the end of this year. Well, of course, the key thing for Tizen is that we have a web runtime with all the device APIs implemented. So that's a clear number one task we are working on at the moment. What makes this challenging is actually the fact that we started using Wayland. So we need to make sure that the web runtime runs okay on a Wayland-enabled system. Then in addition to the web runtime, we need to implement the regular APIs, those APIs that were discussed yesterday in the Tizen web API presentation. But in addition to those APIs, we are also working on defining a set of automotive device APIs so that different automotive data could also be accessed from the web applications. There are some candidates already available. For example, Webinos project has been working on defining automotive APIs. We are looking into what they have done, and we're also looking into other alternatives. But anyway, so this automotive device API definition is one clear thing we are working in Tizen IVI today. So then another thing, Wayland and kernel updates, just pretty normal stuff. We're following the Wayland upstream and also kernel updates. So that's something expected to, like, we're planning to update Wayland and kernel one more time before the 1.0 release. This root FS size optimization is something that's happening basically all the time. As I said earlier, we have Q&A monitoring how the root FS size goes, and if some problems arise, we try to fix the problems immediately. The goal is to really have size optimized root file system in the 1.0 release. And actually, to help that or get the root FS size smaller, I've been looking into PCBox integration. This is something the mobile stack is already using. Our current Tizen IVI preview release doesn't have PCBox, and I'm looking into getting PCBox running. That saves us something like maybe 10-50 megabytes, depends on which PCBox configuration we use, but it's already quite a big saving. We are also working on resource policy and audio routing for automotive needs. This is a very interesting area, actually. We would need to be able to provide a solution that implements independent passenger zones for audio and for displays also, cars. The IVI system today in cars might have something like, let's say, four displays even. So how do we manage the content on each of those displays? How do we manage the audio routings when backseat passenger connects like a headphone to the car? How the audio is routed to the backseat, for example? That's a very, very interesting area, and we have a team working on this resource policy and audio routing. Automotive network management, DEMON, that's something we need. We need to be able to access the automotive buses in the system to really get the data. This is already a requirement for the device API I mentioned earlier, to get the JavaScript APIs to talk to some daemon first, and then the daemon would handle the data fetching from the buses like CAN or OBD. We have started the work, like top to bottom, we have started the DBus API definition work first, and then once we have the API finalized, we plan to start implementing the actual daemon and the daemon architecture. The DBus API definition is something we are not doing on our own. We are doing it on our own, but we are not. We have not come up with the API draft by ourselves. We are basically using what was done in MIGO IVI some time ago. If you're interested, you can go to MIGO Wiki and go to the IVI project, and you can find the an old IVI API definition. We were basically using that work as our basis to do the DBus API definition for Tizen IVI. And also we are actively working with Genevieve, or following what Genevieve is doing in terms of new component definition, how the next version of compliance is coming up together. And also, Genevieve is working on some of the proof of Genevieve is working on some proof of concept demonstrations. And what we would like to have in Tizen IVI is that we can take those Genevieve proof of concepts, have them implemented in Tizen IVI, and really show or point to, if somebody asks that, do you have this and this Genevieve POC implemented? We can go and yeah, we have it implemented in Tizen IVI, and it's all open source. You can go to Tizen IVI project and get the POC running in Tizen IVI. So that's what we also want to do. Okay, so I guess now starts the most important, or not important, but most interesting thing in this presentation is, like, how do we differ if we compare Tizen IVI architecture with the Tizen Mobile architecture? And I've highlighted the areas. There's nothing new, basically. I've already explained to you, like, what the areas are in startup. We're using systemd, which is something the mobile stack is not yet doing. We are working on the resource policy, which is slightly different because of more complex use cases in IVI. Then we have this whole automotive domain in the system, which includes the automotive network manager and those Genevi compliance required components. And then we are also using Wayland instead of X11. The mobile stack is still using X11. And for telephony, by the way, we are planning to use Ofono there. That's also something we have. or the Ofono requirement is actually implicitly coming from Genevi. So Genevi has been looking into taking Ofono as an abstract component. Basically, what it would mean is that the Ofono API would first be used in Genevi compliant system implement the phone call management and SMS related functionality. Maybe one day Ofono will become a specific component, but they've been discussing on having Ofono as an abstract component first. Okay, so very briefly, what the ideas in this building the stack bottom up is. My thinking is as follows. Basically, we want to provide a very, very minimal based installation, which defines a set of packages that are needed to get the system to boot it up into a shell. What you need, basically, you need the toolchain stuff, IPC, DBus, the startup mechanism, systemd, UDEV, and friends to get the system initialized properly. Certain bootstrap components like BusyBox is a good example that falls into the bootstrap category, and then the package management to use or if you have package management, you can start building the stack up. And the idea is basically as follows. So first we boot the very minimal system to the shell, and then we can start adding more functionality into the system. And this example shows how to install the graphic stack. We have a zipper pattern defined, IVI, Wayland, Auto, and once you run the installation command, you basically get the graphics stack. In reality, in addition to the graphics stack, you would also get some sample applications because they are included in this pattern today. Another example would be to get the system Genevi compliant. We have the Genevi compliance packages in our repositories, and to get them into the image, you can just run the installation command and get the Genevi compliance required packages installed in the system. And then this whole thing would continue until you have the full system up and running. We don't have many of those patterns defined today, but that's actually something I'm working on defining more installable patterns, so that we can have the system visualized properly and then really map to the package level. And another thing is kind of related to this previous. So we are also mapping the RPM packages. We have a set of RPM packages in the system. We want the RPM packages to be grouped to match to this architecture diagram I just showed here. So basically, we would be fixing the RPM group tags so that if you are looking a random package in the system, you can immediately see from the package metadata that to which part of the system the package belongs to. I think I'm running out of time, but very briefly, here's the IVI project setup. You can find the images from Tizen.org download page. We have a wiki page set up, which talks about the release status and what's fixed and known issues and so on. We have a mailing list. We have a bug system enabled, so if you find some bugs in IVI, you can go there and file some bugs. Then one last word about the reference hardware. So just recently, we decided to take this Nexcom device. I have one device here to show you into the official reference hardware into Tizen IVI. So that's this is an off-the-shelf device. So you can go to Nexcom web pages and buy one yourself if you are interested in Tizen IVI development. We are also supporting the Intel Crosswell development platform, and we are still providing Tizen IVI images for Pine Trail netbooks also. But the official hardware is the Nexcom device. And that's something everybody can buy. All right, that ends my presentation. Do you have any questions? Yeah, sure. Can you go to the mic, please?
APIs to go down to the automotive specific items. Are you looking to make them W3C specs as well so that they won't be changed and modified?
Yeah, that's actually, we haven't really started yet, like under which project the APIs would be hosted. So the first step would be to really have the APIs in use and maybe under Tizen namespace and then move forward with that.
Right. And is there a challenge to run the widgets on top of Wayland because it's a new management interface rather than...
No, it's not about that. It's basically how the web runtime renders things, so that's the thing.
Okay, and on your architecture diagram, you said that you were using the same multimedia system.
Yes,
as the mobile
and Pulse Audio.
Right, so the codecs that are built in there, is it the stuff that we already support on the phones, or do we have to get a separate VAPI and acceleration and
yeah,
the codecs?
Yeah, we need to do that. Yeah, we need to do that. Of course, also the hardware accelerated codecs, they are always hardware.
Right, because Samsung
specific.
Wouldn't have those on those. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Good. Any other questions?
Actually, I might have one. Dariusz Filipski from Comac. The performance measurements you showed us, so the startup time lower than 7 seconds and so on, achieved on this reference device or on something else, some other hardware?
It's on this device. It's on this device. It actually doesn't differ much. Depending on, like, I showed three devices or three platforms here, so it's roughly the same on any of the platforms. What actually differs is the depending on the hardware, the bootloader time initialization is different. So.
I think the cross-reference, cross-dependency between the group of components in your architecture will be very hard to be eliminated.
Yep,
so I want to hear your experience about that.
Yeah, my experience is basically the same, that it's hard. But we'll see. I need to look into that more when I really get the patterns defined first and see like how much there are actually dependencies to like between different patterns. But you're right, basically, that when installing, for example, connectivity stack, it might pull in packages from another pattern also. But yeah, so we'll see how it goes. Okay, very good. Thank you.